Free Jambalaya presents Phantom Limb, Season 3. Horror stories, sci-fi, and strange fiction for a maladapted species. Episode 3. The Mothers and the Sons, Part 1.
Shining and arrayed for war. He had come to say goodbye. I remember I was afraid. But when he swam into my chamber and his waters mingled with mine, I tasted no fear. He was proud and full of wrath and joy. It grieved him some to leave me behind, but he was not afraid. No, my brave father, with his spines all daubed in crimson and tipped with brilliant adamantine, was eager. The mothers had tasted the suffering of a new world, and so her sons, my father and his many brothers, must gird for battle. They would board the starships, cross the treacherous void, and bring peace with justice to a planet in agony. This was the third time my father had voyaged out beyond the home waters, the first since he had taken me for a son. He was war-marked and purified, his carapace infused with strengthening alloys, and he was forbidden to touch the body of another in peace. Yet, he drew his legs around me then and embraced me, and so named me a son of his own body, to which I rejoiced, for long had I suspected the same. He told me not to fear, that none had withstood the might of the mothers and their sons for 1,000 years, that he would return triumphant, with peculiar gifts and tales of battle and liberation, that if he must give up his life, he would do so gladly, regretting only that he would never see me reach the time of exuviation and bring wisdom and honor to all my brothers, or take a son of my own. His courage was such that mine own cowardice dissolved in the vastness of it. And when he had taken his leave, slicing through the waters and away with a single stroke of his mighty Cleopods, down to the great ship that would carry him unto his death. When he had gone, I felt only pride. We did not know their name then. That foul species who would humiliate the sons and shame the mothers. The ones who would crack the shell and spill the soft parts of my father on the defiled surface of their world. But I know it now, and I name them here as my armada bears down in wrath at last. Oh, at last, upon their wretched planet Earth. Humans. Humans! Humans! Mothers do not speak to us in words. They have no mandibles for scraping and clicking, nor maxillae to whisper, nor even lungs to guide the air. Yet, long before the pitiful remnant of our fleet limped home, broken and irradiated and impotent, we knew of their grief. We tasted the sorrow and the rage of the mothers all around us, suffusing the waters of our home like ink. We breathed in through every gill and pore their feeling, nay, their certainty, that our fathers and brothers were slain, their starships destroyed beyond repair, and that those creatures, those mammals, the ones that we would come to know as humans, still reigned supreme over their world of pain. In those days, I had grown to the last of my larval stages, a young megalops eager for knowledge, soft-shelled and without wisdom. And I hoped that somehow the mothers were wrong. Cough. But the first transmissions from Earth arrived soon after. For 3 days and 3 nights, the Navarch's reports arrived. And for 3 days and nights, I stared. Food and sleep forgotten. As an initiate of the sages, I was among the first to view the messages, each a dense packet of information, troves of data collected about the planet and its inhabitants, detailed analyses of human technology, compilations of bizarre material taken from the humans' own communication networks, battle dispatches, and video footage. The early stages of the invasion unfolded favorably, even perfectly, as our ships plunged down from the void and into their oceans without incident. Humans are dryland creatures, and their waters were unguarded, save for a few blind, pitiful vessels of the sort that air breathers sometimes create. In combat, the humans were disappointing. small, fleshy mammals without armor or natural weapons of any kind. They relied largely upon intricate little projectile throwers, of which they possessed a great many. All useless against the stout armor of my father and his brothers. Their explosive armaments, mounted upon great metal-clad land vehicles and airships, were more lethal, and some few sons did give up their lives in battle. But the airships were slow and stupid when matched with our skimmers, and the steel hides of their armored cars gave only brief sport for the claws of our warriors. Within hours of planet fall, the suns had swarmed forth to take every coastal population center on the planet, freeing all manner of suffering creatures as they went. But ecosystemic analysis indicated that since the humans had risen to prominence, they'd snuffed out all but a few of Earth's life forms. And what remained? Empty, forlorn oceans. Reefs bleached and burned. Waters silted, poisoned, corpse clogged. Gentle cetaceans with beautiful voices. Hunted and traumatized and starving. Noble cephalopods reduced to gibbering, paranoid thieves. Feeble, diseased patches of trees and scavengers where mighty forests had stood. Canine and feline house slaves bred into grotesque shapes with simpering, feeble minds. The vast herds of bloated meat creatures swimming in shit from birth until death to glut the insatiable appetites of humans. And yet, the sons were merciful, as the mothers are merciful. No human was harmed, except those who took up arms. And to them, to those who fought, was given the honor of a warrior's death. Claw to claw with a son of the mothers. More than they deserved. For on the third day, when victory seemed all but assured, certain leaders of the humans launched tens of thousands of thermonuclear weapons in a coordinated, suicidal strike from land, sea, and orbit. They ravaged the surface of their world and boiled away its oceans, crippling every corner of their biosphere and annihilating our fleet and our armies, along with more than 95% of all humans. 10,000 years have passed since the mothers first sent their sons to war. And in all those many ages, we had never before borne witness to such a crime. I abandoned the caverns of the sages that very night and made my way to the hives of the warrior sons, there to subject myself to the trials and imbibe the calcifying elixirs. For I knew then, as the waters around me filled anew with the rage and horror of the mothers, that the speckled blue caverns, the shimmering archives, and the soft, slow pursuit of wisdom were lost to me now forever. I would make a study of war. I would cross the void. I would avenge my father. 40th year of my preparations, I was summoned by the Mothers. By my mother. I was fully grown then, and trained in warfare. Well studied in every detail of the first invasion. Distinguished among the sons for my strength, prowess, and cunning. But as I swam alone to meet my mother, scything through the water with all speed, the vast dome of her shell rising over the seabed, ever larger as I approached, my hearts fluttered within me. I knew not why I had been summoned, only that I must go. And the closer I swam to her, out beyond the motherline, closer now than I had ever been in my life, though I had often gazed upon her from afar. The closer I drew, the more I felt her need in the water, moving in and through me with the tide of my breath and blood. The Mothers had not called a son unto themselves for 40 years, not since Earth, since humans. Their silence had been painful for us, but we did our duty. The young ones drank of the elixirs and trained and grew. The old ones, such few as were left alive, taught what they could. And new starships were growing in the abyss, black and cold and waiting. Suddenly, I floated before her, close enough to touch. My vision filled with her body, more huge than any whale. I swam down, tracing the curve of her armored exterior, until I rested upon the ocean floor before the great seam of her shell, from which issued the call that I followed, the water cloudy with the chemicals that carried her will through the waves. And bathed in that cloud, I knew. I understood. I had been called for the greatest honor of all. To enter my mother's holy sanctuary. To see her in the flesh. To merge and mate with her there and become father to thousands. And I was filled with shame. Why, Mother? Why me? What could there be in me to share with one such as you? Who am I that I should sire a generation? And my mother did not answer in words, but the seam before me began to open, and from within spilled a roseate light that pierced me to my deepest heart. And I saw, I knew, I understood why the Mothers had chosen me, me!
Pause. I am tired.
Whoa! Okay! Would you like to rest?
Yes. I will rest for... 1 month. Don't move.
The Mothers and the Sons, Part 1, was written and performed by Alex Mayberry, with music, sound design, editing, and voice acting by Ben Patterson and Matt Tracy.
Thanks for listening to Phantom Limb. We release new episodes on the last day of every month. If you like what you hear, please leave us a rating or review and consider supporting us at buymeacoffee.com/phantomlimb. For just $5, you get access to bonus content like author interviews, soundtracks, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. And you help us pay the fine folks who donate their time and talent to this project. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to join us next month.